All right, welcome to Midtown Parenting Breakaway for this is exciting time and seasons in your life of just raising kids, and it can be just a total joy and fun, and it can just be a total nightmare and frustration all at the same time, and there's just usually, especially in the season of little kids, there's just a lot going on, and so there's just a minutia of things that are necessary to keep the household running, to keep things moving, to keep jobs going, to keep everything going in the right direction, and then the kids as well. And so with that whole barrage of things that are necessary, trying to create routines and figuring out seasons and which season you're in, and a lot of different things. Something Sharon and I used to help sort through all that detail, to help us sort of focus in on intentionally, or just becoming more intentional to the things that are very important over time. And however, we didn't think of this until our kids were about coming out of middle school. And so I'm going to talk about that age group first, called teenagers, and then we'll work backwards to different segments of kids age 7 through 12, and then another chunk called kids ages 2 through 4. But it's going to be basically taking the same concept that I'm going to talk about with teenagers, and then you take that concept, but you adapt it to a lesser age child. And so hopefully this will make more sense in just a minute. So here's the general gist is you start with the end in mind. Where would you like your child to be at age 25? You know, at age 25, you really want them to be a successful man of God or woman of God who is really on their own payroll, not your payroll, and you're really wanting them to be to really be doing the things God called them to be doing, whether that's business or whether that's services or a vocation, or you just want them really engaged in that, and preferably, there'll be a spouse along the way, and you want them to properly treat the spouse and have healthy relationships with the new family plus the community that they're in. So given that vision, I assume we all have of that's the end game, and I'm just going to call it 25. And so now what I did when our kids were freshman in high school age is I sort of broke down what are the things they need to know now during the teens that will really have them prepared to be that way when they're 25, I think I used the age 23 is what I actually used on the chart, and so from that, it's if you take that handout, it's a handout at the very top left hand. It says, "Remember, never underestimate my kids, ages 13 through 23." And so basically what I did is I came up with all the kinds of things that I want them to be able to know how to do by age 23 successfully. And I want them to really be able to do it well. So for instance, you want them to really know how to do job hunting strategies and skills. You want them to be able to do interview skills, resume building. Okay, and I'm just going to take a quick break. For those with young kids, I know this seems like eons away from where you are, but this concept is going to apply, again, to different age brackets. I'll show you how to do that bridge later. But back to the teenager. So you want them to know how to do study and work ethics. And I'm just going down, number one, number two, number three, number four, going down this page. Being able to focus on what needs to get done without prompting. That's just a very important maturity thing. How to buy a car, how to properly maintain a car, how to use a car. Developing giving strategies and learning how to regularly support organizations and people and figuring out how to do that. So this was basically a list that I came up with of all the things I wanted my kids to know by the time they graduated from college. And then off to the right, you see four columns over there. It says, let's do it together. The student does it, but I watch and I direct. And then the next column says the student does it and calls if they have questions. And then the fourth column is the student could train someone else to do it. And so what I did with each of my sons is I just eventually just sat down with them over a Rush's milkshake and explained all these different things of things that they really needed to know well before they got to be 23 to successfully get out of college and be on their own and be independent. That's why I called it the road to independence. And so, but then once I did that, they really all of a sudden had this framework for what is successful. Prior to then, they sort of heard rules, but they never saw it all collected together to say, oh, this is really a thing of things I need. And at that time, each of my sons had different things that they cared about on this list, and they had a lot of things they didn't care about things on this list. But what was really cool is over the course of years, through their teens, they would ask me to tell them how to do these different things, and we'd sort of keep a record to say which ones they got and which ones they didn't get. And so over time, they basically ask me for how to do these things. And with a teenager, it is a totally different paradigm when they're asking their parents for help versus the parent telling them how to do something or what they need to do. And if you can get it flipped where they're asking for help, they actually listen. But when you're just telling them what they need, they don't really listen. And so the joke with teenagers in our family was you can tell them information and you can give them facts. You can give them facts and you can ask them questions, but you can't tell them anything. Because if you just tell them, it just goes in one ear and out the other. But if you give them a fact and you ask them a question and then they have to process it, that's just a more productive way to deal with a teenager, from my opinion. I'm sure there's 100 ways to do teenagers. That's just one of them, but that's the way that I found had the most productive move forward, as opposed to trying to tell them to do something or make them do something because of my authority as their parent. If I had to resort to that, that was usually it didn't go well. All right, so you get this model of basically laying out expectations for their season in life called ages 13 through 23. You get them to self-assess where they are. So as you go through job hunting, my 14-year-old son says, I don't know how to do that. And so he put a little check mark under, let's do it together. Study work ethic, at those times, he goes, Dad, I know how to study. I can teach somebody how to study. So he checked column 4 for that because they already knew how to study well by age 14 and they were good at it. And so that wasn't a thing. Buying a car, he goes, I don't know how to buy a car. So he put number 1. And then developing giving strategies, he looked at me, he goes, I think if I had a question about giving, I'd call you. So he checks number 3. And they go through, and when they finish, they're basically giving you their invitation to talk to them about anything they put in column 1. So anything in column 1, they're basically saying, hey, I'm open for you to tell me stuff about that, or give me information, or ask me questions. But if I check to column 3 or 4, they don't really want to hear anything you say about that. And if you think they inappropriately check 3 or 4, then pray that they will have a better insight, or give them a question and some information and see if they really do get it, kind of thing. So basically you do that approach, and then you start helping them with anything in column 1, or anything they ask you for related to these things. And so then column 2 again, then you move to column 2 things, and there's no pressure where you feel you have to get these done. You're really laying the expectation on them to ask you. As they start to get ready for a job, they're going to say, oh, hey, I need to know how to do job hunting strategies, and that's on that list. You got to train me. And so they'll bring those kinds of things up if they really understand these lists. And so it's something you pull these lists out probably 3 or 4 times a year and just go through them so that they keep getting the total big picture in mind. And then you just ask, is there anything here that you'd like me to help you with over the next couple months? And you let them drive. And it's just, for us and my kids, it was just a very effective tool of getting them to, they ask me about banking strategies and banking things. They ask me about investments. They ask me about how to get a car. They ask me how to, and it just changed the dynamic as opposed to the traditional model where parents are telling them how to balance a bank account or how to set up something. And so that's the general concept. I'm going to call it the teenager growth road to independence. Now let's now change the paradigm now to a different age group. So now it's age 7 to 12. So they're less independent, but the reality is after age 6, which is that other season I'm going to call from ages 2 to 6, from ages 7 to 12, they're going to start to push some boundaries. And so they're going to start to want to know some things. And usually this age is very formative. So things you teach them here really sets the stage for the teenager growth model that we just talked about. And so so on this one, it's the same concept. You go to Rush's and get a milkshake or Chick-fil-A milkshake or Cookout milkshake, whichever milkshakes they prefer. And you basically, over the milkshake, go through and have them read each one and ask them, what does that mean to them? So being a reading and writing role model, that's number one on the ages 7 to 12. So I'm now on the other handout page, the 7 to 12 handout. And you just ask the your son or daughter, hey, what does being a reading and writing role model mean? And make sure they understand what that means. Because what you're really doing when you're going over each of these questions and having them read it is you're getting them to process what the vision is for this season that they're in called 7 through 12. And if they catch a vision for what they need to be doing 7 through 12, oh my goodness, it's going to be gold. Because that when you get a motivated child age 7 to 12, they can learn and be so formative. It is just enormous. And so the next one, can you be trusted when you're alone or away from your parents? Get them to read it. Don't you tell them, get them to read it, because you're really preparing them for the teenager one, which is really about them being independently doing those things. So now, in this season, you're wanting them to practice by they reading to you, they tell you what it means, and then if they didn't get it right, just suggest some other ways to of how that could be interpreted and what, and sort of correct them on what that really means is this, and here's an example. Examples are also very good in this time frame because 7 to 12 can understand an example sometimes better than they can understand the words or definitions. And so being trusted when you're alone or away from your parents, the child would say that and then just say, well, what does that mean? And more than likely, they'll give you an example back of, well, when you and mom, when mom and dad went to out on a date night, we were, with a babysitter, or when you go into the other room and I'm in the room by myself. So they'll just start putting flesh and meat on the bone to really help you understand that they understand that. And then once they do, just say, is that something, hey, that you think you really got, or is that something that you'd like me to help you with? And then they just check the 1, 2, 3, or 4. And when they're really going through the same process. So number three, do you know how to choose healthy foods and not eating too much or too little? My kids used to overeat and then throw up, so it's like, okay, we got to learn how to do this. So you just basically are going through, and when they read it, then you ask them, what does that mean? And then they just need to be able to either put it into their own words, or they need to give you examples to let you know that they really do understand it. And if you can get through this list with them where they understand it, oh my goodness, that is so helpful to be on the same page with your son or daughter on where you're going, where you're trying to go 5 years from now, 3 years from now, That is just huge if you get agreement on, oh, I can see that, or I don't understand, or have the right attitude, or picking good friends. These are just things, how to pray with people. These are things that can just be an enormous building foundation block for the teenager one to come. And so this is just, however, I need to say, I said it earlier, but I just want to say it again. We did not do it at this age. However, if I would have thought of it, we would have been doing it. But I didn't think of it until they were teenager age. But then I pulled it back to ages 7 to 12 as a training exercise. And then I even pulled it back further to 2 to 6, which is the next one we're going to talk about. But I think the same process can work. I've talked to many six-year-olders that can answer these questions. They know what a right attitude is, number 12. They know what being a reading and writing role model is. They know what a routine is and whether they can stick to it. And they know personal hygiene practices. You know, you might need to tell them what hygiene means, but, you know, once you tell them it's their toothbrush and clean clothes and taking a bath and scrubbing behind their ears and, you know what, they should know those things and through the conversations. And so, again, the end concept is you've now got on a single page of expectations with your child, where you're both now seeing where the end at age 12 is going to be. And so at the end of age 12, you know, I would even suggest having a ceremony or a, actually what we did at age 13 was called the blessing. And we actually had a party where publicly we invited their friends, and I invited my friends, and publicly we just said how awesome this event is, that they're now a teenager at 13, and we're going to celebrate that. But I want everybody to know, and this is where I taught about the unconditional love of my sons, is I told them that I told my son in front of my friends and their friends that, hey, during the teens, you're going to go in a different direction than me because God made you different than me, and that is okay. And we're going to have some tension during the teenage years because I'm going to want to hold on to things and try to help you go a certain direction. However, God may be putting you on a different path. And I just want to tell you in front of my friends, I love you. I'm going to support you as best as I can. But if I start to go, you know, trying to get you to be like me, I want you and my friends to speak into my life that is not what I really want. What I really want is for you to do what God wants you to do. And that may not be what I'm comfortable with. And that may be a stretch for me. But I basically told my friends and I told my son that is what I really want. And I want you to remind me of this day at this blessing because, you know, I want what God wants for you. And so from a standpoint of using this information, you can get to that graduation point of age 13 and just really celebrate it, you know, and just say, you know, hey, you've done these things and it is just amazing, you know, of who you are and what you're, you know, of just unconditionally who you are. And then in addition to who you are, you've done some things that I'm very proud of on this list. And so separate the accomplishment, which needs praise, but also from just them being human and your son or daughter and celebrating how that unconditional love is there no matter what happens through the teenage years. And so this really sets the stage for that. It really helps them understand attitudes, how to buy clothes, how to plan trips, you know, how to navigate the city, how to do support homework without, you know, projects, without having the parents to tell you how to do that, you know, thinking long-term and making short-term trade-offs for long-term benefits. These are all just things that are really helpful to learn in that formative period. So I've just sort of put those down, but this is not an this is not like the list. This is a suggestion. And so add some more blanks to the bottom and put the things that are very meaningful to you on here. Because, again, I didn't do this with my kids, so this one's not like factory tested. And so I'm sure there's a dozen things further on that list that are meaningful to you that I missed. Put those down in there and just use the same thing. You can get the actual template off the download to just add them to yours so you don't have to retype this thing and just make the changes. And if you don't like some of these, you delete them. If you may not like the words. So I'm not saying that this is the right answer here. I'm just saying this is a model that you can adjust to then use with your kids in a helpful way. And so then the next handout is ages 2 to 6. And it's really the same kind of thing, but it's just now done on a very simple level. but it's the same concept. You're sitting down with your child, and you probably can't do the entire list at one time, but maybe you could just do the categories at one time. Let's just go through the creativity questions. Let's go through the responsibility questions. Let's go through the skills questions. Let's go through the thinking questions. And out of those, which ones do you like the most? Do you like creative? Do you like responsible? Do you like skills? Do you like thinking? And you're just now starting to get the child to start thinking in a broader way than just playing with toys or playing with a video game. And so, as you ask them questions, about these things, you're going to need to read it to them. They can't read at that age and this kind of stuff. But you basically talk through each of these things, and you can do that over a milkshake. I just did everything with milkshakes. They just seem to make everything better. school projects, that was like, okay, let's go to Russia's and get a milkshake. We'll think about 10 different ways to do this project, and after we brainstormed 10, we would then have them pick one way to do it, and that's the way they would go. And then, just everything was better with a milkshake. So, I don't know how you roll with that, but that just, you want it to be a fun experience to have them learn how to think ahead and to think big boy, big girl thoughts. And that's what this is. This is how to be a big boy. This is how to be a big girl. We need to start working on these kinds of things with you. And I want you to be a really cool big boy and a really big, cool big girl. And so I want to help you with these kinds of things. So this is a little more directive than the teenager is very independent. You're letting them drive. This is going to be more directive at this age. But it's also good to let them see where they get a check mark from your opinion. And then any time they change and move from one check mark, let's say that number five, it says beginning art skills using crayons and colored pictures to draw favorite objects and people. Let's say when you first talk to them, they don't know how to do that. So you put a check mark in column one, but then they do it one or two or three times, and you see a good one, you take their good artwork, you show them this master picture again and say, you did this number six so well, you're no longer in column one here, you're in column two. You are really being a bit, growing up to be a big boy, or you're really growing up to be a big girl. And I am so excited that you've moved from column one to column two, because look at this, this is awesome. And so everything becomes a point where you can encourage your son or daughter very specifically and measurably so that they can see progress in different areas. They're gonna get motivated by what you get motivated with. And if you're trying to motivate them towards a successful age six, graduation to age seven, these are the kinds of things to celebrate. And so when spouse comes home, first thing you ought to say is, probably text them beforehand or her beforehand to let them know what's coming. But, Joe learned how to, build blocks and stack them up. So, let's celebrate that, when you come home. And so from a standpoint of that, you just do a team celebration, and if you're a single parent, you when a friend comes over, you brag about, hey, on this one right here, this artwork, look at this, my son did this, and then you just jump up and down, do a crazy dance, I was noted for giving people touchdowns, like in football, you put hands both over your head and I'll just go touchdown. That's just awesome. And so I was noted for giving touchdowns when people did really cool stuff. But in this age group, you're really directing, but you're directing them in a way that shows them that you're tuned into a detail, and then you're going to go crazy and celebrate every time they move from column one to column two to column three. And then in column four, you're going to start teaching them the concept of, you know this really well, you could teach your friend Joe how to do this. You could teach your friend Sally how to do this. And so now you're getting a whole concept at age six, five and six, as they really become good at stuff. If they're really good at coloring and drawing, hey, let's go teach some other people this. So you're teaching them how to help other people at a young age. And then that builds really for that spreadsheet, the handout that we just talked about at age 7 through 12. So if you start teaching them what column four means, and when they get there at age 12, they can do it. A 12-year-older can teach a lot of stuff. You know, it's like giving me, you know, my 12-year-older taught me how to use my phone, how to use all sorts of technology in the house, how to program things. And so if they have the mindset that they can teach and they can help, oh my gosh, that is so powerful. So, but that's taught at this ages of 2 to 6, of once they get a skill and they've been praised for their progression of really understanding it, once they progress to that column four, it's the expectation of, hey, let's go help people now that you've mastered this, and you know, really celebrate their skills. So that's what these handouts are. It is not intended in any way to say these are the right answers. It's just, this is one way in which to do it. It's sort of laying expectations out and giving them vision. I would probably pull these sheets out 3 or 4 times a year and just sort of go through them again, so that keeps the vision current. And in the older years, it's much less directive and much more letting the teenager drive. In the younger years, it's much more directive and letting them drive. However, if they want to drive at those younger ages, definitely encourage that, because that's what you want your teenager to do. You want your teenager to learn how to drive these things on their own independently. So if they start to show that in the earlier ages of 2 to 6 or from 7 to 12, that is definitely a attribute you want them to do, is to take the initiative there. So I hope this helps. If you have questions, I'm around. I have a funny last name, and there's only one of them, so I'm easy to find. So you can look me up on Facebook or email, or just stop by the church office if I'm around.